Be seated, please. Some of the more famous verses of the Bible is the one we started off with. Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What a tremendous statement that is. You know, you can carry that anywhere. I can go to any jail, any prison. I can go to any nursing home, any hospital. I can walk into the fanciest building in here in town, or to the poorest, and that verse still reads, for whosoever. Bless your heart, I understood that verse when I was about 20 years old, 21 years old. And you know what? I wrote my name in there where it says, whosoever, for whosoever shall call. And I said, if Lendell Kincaid shall call. And you can do exactly the same thing. I'm celebrating my 59th year of preaching the gospel. Praise the Lord. I didn't know I was going to live 59 years, much less preach the gospel that long. Hey, that's a privilege. That's a great privilege. You know what? I haven't changed my message very much either. You say you know because I preach the same thing all the time, right? Let me tell you what. This is a good message. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then they ask a very good question. How are they going to call if they haven't heard? Wow. You've been hearing it all your life. On radio and tracks, people preaching in the streets, somebody preaching in somebody's church. You've been hearing it all your life. How privileged are you? I remember walking some of the blocks right back out over here, knocking on doors, passing out tracts. And I came upon a teenager, 15, 16 years old. He's sitting on his front porch. And I walked up to him and said, how you doing? My name is Lendell Kincaid. I'd like to talk to you about the Lord. And he really didn't know what I was talking about. It amazed me. You see, when I was running around in diapers, I had a grandmother that was telling me Bible stories. That's why every time I read about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, it comes back to what my grandmother, Kincaid, would teach me. She said, that's Shadrach, Meshach, and under the bed we go. That's where I learned it. He didn't have a Bible. He told me he'd never been to a church. I mean, we're talking 4 or 5 blocks from right here. He did not have a Bible. He'd never been to a church. He didn't know about David and Goliath. What about a story not to know? David and Goliath, David and Bathsheba, Daniel in the lion's den. If you were raised up and your mother or your grandmother or your sister or your aunt or somebody opened up the Word of God and told you about some of these things, you're richly blessed. Want you to think how blessed you are to be in a place where there's, I don't know how many churches in this town. There's plenty. And they may not all preach exactly the same thing and whatever. Not all of them are exactly right. But hey, listen, you can get a lot of truth. You got a Bible. You can go to H-E-B and for small change buy you a Bible. They gave me a New Testament when I joined the Air Force. I'm joining the Air Force, and there's a man sitting there passing out New Testaments. How blessed are you? I can't get over that. I think I am so tremendously blessed that I was born in this place, raised by 2 Christian people, had a Bible in my house all of my life. I didn't read it very much. I didn't pay much attention to it. I believed it. I believed it was the Word of God. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the greatest truth you can know.
That's right.
Amen. And bless your heart, if you are saved. Are you saved?
Amen.
If you are saved, you're going to heaven.
Amen.
No more sin, no more pain, no more sorrow. Think about that. And then, you may be the poorest person in this room. I don't know. I don't know who is. I'm sure I'm not. Brian told you I was rich. So I must not be the poorest person in the room. You were richer than most people that have ever walked the face of the earth. You really are. You may have a bill or two staring you in the face. You may have some things you want to get done you can't get done. Let me tell you something, friend. It wasn't just about 120 years ago they were riding horses. I'm driving 225 of them. That's what they tell me. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the glorious gospel. That's what I got saved by 59 years ago. Jesus will forgive your sins and save your soul if you will repent of your sins and believe in Him and call upon Him. And you can write your name in there. Isn't that a good word? Whomsoever? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How are they going to call if they don't ever know? So what are we to do? We're to preach the gospel. And I have the purpose of my life is to reach lost people and to be sure that when I've preached, I haven't left you out. If you've come in here today and you've never been here before and you've never heard the gospel before, I want to get it to you. I want you to know about it. Because it's the absolute greatest gift you could possibly have. Winning the lottery is nothing. That's pocket change compared to what this is. Whosoever, praise the Lord. How shall they hear without a preacher? So we need some preachers, don't we? Look down at verse 17. Here's another one of those tremendous verses. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Do you know what? You as a believer, not just me as a preacher, you as a believer need to be spreading the Word of God to your community, your family, your friends, the people that live around you. You ought to be inviting them to come to church with you. You ought to see how many you couldn't bring in a year. He said right here, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Then what is our number one job? It's to put the Word of God out so that somebody can hear it. Do you realize the confused ideas that are in many of these people? That young man I was telling you about told me he'd never been in a church. Never heard the gospel. Never had a gospel tract. And he was in about five blocks of us. Wow. It blew my mind. I'm used to walking in and talking to somebody and they got a religion or they got a church or they've done this or they've done that. They've been baptized. They believe the Bible. They're great people. But here was one that wasn't right just in shooting distance of this assembly. Faith comes by hearing. He didn't have faith. He didn't have faith in a God. He didn't have faith in a heaven. He didn't have faith in salvation. He didn't have faith in forgiveness of sins. He probably didn't even think he did any sin. Because faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. Well, verse 18 says, but haven't they heard? Well, he's talking about Israel right here. He's talking about the nation of Israel. And have they not heard? Hey, they were a people prepared to receive Christ. You know what a lot of this Old Testament? That's about three times as big as the New Testament. Read the New Testament through, and if you just read the same amount of verses out of Old and New, you'd probably finish the Old Testament one time, New Testament three times, four times. They had all those promises. You remember when Jesus is born, and after he's born, we have the wise men coming from the east. Where did they know to come? How did they know to come? They've been studying scriptures. I'm not too sure, but these weren't Jewish men that were high in the government and Eastern things. Maybe eunuchs such as Daniel used all around the world because the Jews were illiterate people. They knew how to read and write. A lot of the rest of the world did not know how to read and write. You read and write, you're more blessed than most of the people that have ever lived. It's amazing. Have they not heard? Yes, verily their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. Did not Israel know? Well, Moses said, I'm going to provoke you to jealousy by people that are nothing. No people. What's he saying? They're going to get what you missed. They're going to get what you did not accept. What you could not receive, they're going to get. And Isaiah said it. He said, he's very bold. I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. How about that? Let me ask you something. Were you really seeking God when you got saved? I wasn't. I was having a good time. I was running. God Almighty zeroed in on me, brought me to conviction of my sin, and like I said, Beck, when I was young, I thought I was 10 foot tall and bulletproof. And I was in the Air Force, and a young man in his 20s out of Tennessee, Bobby Harris, took my gasoline truck on my run and blew up and died 11 days later here in San Antonio, Brooks. And you know what? I realized I could die. And I thought, I can die. Where am I going to go if I die? I believed in a heaven and a hell, and I believed in God. That's how much faith I had. I believed there's a God in heaven that made all this. You know, I haven't changed that. They can show me all their pictures of all these smart men, and they can describe all the stuff they know and they don't know. I don't know why they can't see God. Every time I see a bigger picture and see how much intricate detail goes into every one of us that's sitting here listening to me, that brain of yours is something fantastic. That took a super brain. That is no accident. In my wildest dreams, I couldn't believe in evolution as a first cause. No way. Wow. There's a big God out there. But look at verse 21. They knew about it. They had the scriptures. They studied the scriptures. They taught their children to read so they could study the scriptures. They wrote them out by hand. But to Israel, verse 21, he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Now you know what gainsaying is. You say something and somebody's got to come back with a smarter answer, and somebody's got to come back with a reason. Somebody's come back with a different definition. You can't agree on anything. All day long, God said, I have stretched out my hand to a disobedient and gainsaying people. Are you that way? Huh? Can anybody prove anything to you? I've spent 59 years, actually, talking to people, taking a Bible and opening it up and saying, here's what the Bible said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And turn my Bible over and read it upside down as I'm pointing it out to people to try to get people to come to Jesus Christ and be saved. That's a wonderful thing. Are you saved? Do you know that you're saved? Do you rest in it each night? It ought to bring you peace. Amen. It ought to bring you happiness. It ought to bring you to a place of repentance for your not following the Lord like you ought to. You ought to make him Lord of your life. You ought to be a fanatic. In fact, if you're not a fanatic, you ought to apologize for it. Tell the Lord you're sorry. How great! How much more can he give you? What more do you want? To praise God and to thank God and to say, I'm saved and it's all by grace. I'm saved and it was the love of God that brought me here. I'm saved. It was the death and the blood of Jesus Christ that made it possible. What more do you need? You waiting on some special little something down here? This is all junk. Now, if I live a couple more months, I'm actually going to hit 80. And so here recently, I just sent a little email to some of my kids, and I had two kids call me and say, are you sick? Are you hurting? No, I just want to make it easier on you. The honest truth, I don't care if you stick me in a barrel and bury me out in an oil field. It doesn't matter to me. Because I won't care then. When I die, I'm going to wake up and say, hello, Lord. No more pain, no more crying, no more tears. That's what I'm looking forward to. We're all going to die. Where are you going to go when you die? What you going to have when you die? Going to be a whole lot better here. One of the dear sweet ladies lost her husband and said, what's he doing now in heaven? I said, I don't really know. Well, now, wait a minute. You're the senior pastor, aren't you? You're supposed to know. I said, all I know is what the Bible tells me. You know what I know? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. If I'm in the presence of Jesus, that's good enough, isn't it? Now let me tell you another verse. The Apostle Paul said both of these. He said, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And I got to hang around with you turkeys. I'd rather have the gain, be with the Lord. Wow, I'm not going to care about my funeral. I'm not going to watch it. I hope you do a good job, Bill, when you preach. But you think I'm worried about a little bit of DNA down here? Some rotten flesh? Maybe filled with embalming fluid? And they won't even let the worms and the beetles get to the body now. They got a cement casket that they put the casket in. Isn't that amazing? Oh, listen to me, friend. I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Now, who's he talking about? Israel. He's talking about Israel. I want to show you something. Look at Luke 19. Verse 11. Now you know he was talking about Israel right there. I've stretched forth my hands unto disobedient, gainsaying people all day long. I've been stretching forth. I've been inviting. I've been reaching out to you. Oh, I've been coming to you again and again and again. How many prophets did he say he brought to them? He said Jerusalem had the blood of the prophets in them. And he raised up one, and he raised up another. Now you look here, Luke 19, verse 11. Verse 10 is a good one, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That sort of goes along, doesn't it? But I want to see the parable here. As they heard these things, he added and spake a parable because he was nigh to Jerusalem, because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants, delivered unto them 10 pounds, and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him, sent a message after him, we will not have this man to reign over us. Now you remember the story. He got 10 pounds. He had 10 servants. He gave each one of them a pound. He went off to receive his kingdom. Now when he comes back, he says to one, I gave you a pound. What have you gained? I've gained 10 pounds. Well, enter into the joy of the Lord. You've done well. And another one said, I gained 5 pounds. He said, enter into the joy of the Lord. And then one of them said, I knew you were a real hard man. You're one of those tough guys that reap where you don't sow. So I just buried yours in a napkin. He said, take it away from him and give it to the guy who's got 10. Well, he's got 10, Lord. Yeah, he's got 10, now he's got 11. You know what it says here? What's verse 14? I want you to look at verse 14. His citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to rule over us. He's talking to the Jews. This parable is for the Jews. Now, I'm not going to preach this parable. I'm going to use them as examples just on the thought I'm bringing about here. We will not have this man to reign over us. Is that your attitude, Christian? I know Christians, it's been said to my face, it's been said in my presence to someone else. I know that's what the Bible says, but I don't like it and I don't agree with it. In those open meetings, we want what you get from the Bible. I don't care about what your opinion is on oil. I don't care what your opinion is on a thousand different things. Take a verse of the Bible and explain it to us. Bless us with it. Get something out of it. Share it. We will not have this man to reign over us. Yes, I know the Bible says that, but the Bible's not right, you know, on everything. Like you said, it's not modern. Let me tell you what, that Bible is more up to date than tomorrow's newspaper. We don't like it. How many Christians sitting in this room right here know of things you know God wants you to do and you don't do it? Huh? Is that you? You know what God wants you to do and you won't do it? Well, that's about like these people here. It's about like what Jesus was saying to the Jews. He's telling the Jews, I have sent you messenger after messenger. I have given you the word of God. And you don't want me to reign over you. Have you ever thought about what if God was a bad God? I've thought about this many times. What could you do about it? Nothing. Nothing. My Bible tells me God's a good God. I believe that. I don't believe he's a bad God at all. Even when some bad things come your way, and he lets them come your way, he's still not a bad God. Look what he did with Joseph. Joseph had to go through some things. But bless your heart, he ended up great riches and wealth and power and glory and a wonderful life, and he protected his family. Man, God's a good God. But if he wasn't a good God, there's not a thing you could do about it. You say, well, I just wouldn't serve him then. Well, why won't you serve him now? Is God a good God? Does God know more than you know? Oh, I tell you, the truth is, some of you are sitting here in your own pride and you know more than God. Christian, my dear sweet Christian, my born again Christian, my going to heaven Christian, my eternal life Christian, you know more than God? Well, you do every time you disobey him. You know what God wants you to do? You're not willing to do it. Well, you're just like Israel then, aren't you? Same thing, just like Israel. Well, let's look at another one. Luke 14. Then said to him that bade him, when thou makest a dinner or supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made unto thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot be recompensed. For thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. And then he begins to tell you, a certain man, verse 16, made a great supper and bade many. I have been blessed because different people take me out to eat. I'm blessed. I like that. I had a Friday last week and I got taken out three times. Breakfast, lunch, and supper. And then I had kids come over and mow my lawn and stay till 10. That was a good day. Those ever get good days for you? Praise the Lord. A certain man made a great supper and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And look at verse 18. They all, with one consent, began to make excuse. First one said, I bought a piece of ground. You ever bought any land you didn't see? This guy bought land he hadn't seen. I got to go see it. Oh, I bought 5 yoke of oxen. That's 10 oxen. I bought 10 oxen. I go to prove them. You're going to buy oxen? You're going to buy 10 of them and you haven't seen them? You haven't proved them? You haven't checked them out? And the third guy, the worst excuse of all, I married a wife. And she won't let me come. That's not true. I'll bet that wife you married would like to go to a big supper. Won't you try her out? The excuses are absolutely terrible. They really are. But here's the thoughts, you see. He made a big supper and he bade many. They begin to make excuses. How many excuses do you give God for not obeying Him right now? I'm talking about the church. I'm talking about Christians. I'm talking about born again people, you. How many excuses are you giving God right now for not doing His will? You know His will. You know you ought to be praying. You ought to be reading your Bible. You ought to be witnessing to people. You ought to be coming to church a lot more than you come. What's your excuse? Are they about as good as these excuses? Are they about as good as these excuses? I bought land I've never seen. I got to go see it. And your supper will interfere with that. I bought 5 yoke of oxen. I got to go try them out and prove them. And I don't have time for supper. And I married a wife. What new wife didn't want to go out to eat? Man, I tell you what. Are your excuses about the same? You know what you're saying? I don't want to do what you want me to do. You're telling God. You're not telling me, the old man, the old preacher, he'll soon be gone and we'll be happy about it. You're not telling me that. You're telling God. What excuse do you give God for not doing His will? You got a bad attitude. You want to fuss and fight. You know God says don't do that. Bible says don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. Husbands and wives, you need to get some confessing done before you hit the sack. What about you? Who are you to think you've got a right to push people around or get mad at people or get insulted? You know what God says about stuff like that, don't you? If not, better get to reading your Bible. That's one thing you're not doing, maybe. If you're reading your Bible, you'd find out about that. Do you know what you're saying? You're saying the same thing the people in the other parable. I'm not trying to preach each parable. I'm just using them as an example, understand? We will not have this man to reign over us. I'm boss. I'm going to make up my own mind. I'm going to go my own way. Don't you tell me anything about it. Is that you? Then you're doing wrong. We will not have this man to reign over us. You're saying, I don't want Jesus to control my whole life. Maybe you don't like this church because we're not that entertaining. I know I'm not that entertaining. I'm not that handsome. I'm not that dramatic, whatever. Well, there's a church down the road that's got a beautiful guy. And he tells good stories. And they got crowds of young people because they sing their songs and sing their music and whatever. But he doesn't ever offend anybody, does he? Here's what the Bible says. Israel did not want him to reign over them. But what about us, the church right here today? Do you want God to reign? Do you want God to reign in your life? Do you want to do things the Bible way, even when it's hard, even when it's not accepted, even when it's not liked? Well, look at Luke chapter 13, verse 34. You might ought to mark this one. This is a good one. Man, it's one of those verses that it'll just hit you over and over and over again. Oh, Jerusalem. This is Jesus speaking. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. Two phrases there that just catch my mind. How often ye would not. How often have I called you? How often have I rebuked you? How often have I brought the Spirit of God to touch your mind? How often have I had the Word of God speak to your heart? How often? How often have I offered the invitation? How often have I pled with you to come to Christ? How often have I called you to repent? How often? And what's the problem? It's the same problem Israel had. Ye would not. Oh, don't let that be your epitaph. I would not. God wanted to bless me with happiness, but I didn't want it. God wanted to bless my marriage and make it a wonderful marriage, but I wouldn't do it His way. I would not. God wanted to save my soul, and I wouldn't listen. I wouldn't accept. I wouldn't repent. You would not. Has God called you? Has God reached out to you? Has God drawn you? And is that stubborn will still in you? That stubborn will that says, I'm boss of my own life and I don't have to do everything. I'm too tired. I work too hard. Ye would not. What a sad thought to come across your life. If you're saved and you're going to heaven, praise God. But one of these days, you know what you're going to see? What you could have been or what you could have had, and you would not. Don't let that phrase be the watchword of your life. Don't let that phrase, I'm not going to repent, I'm not going to change my mind, I'm not going to confess what I do is sin, I'm going to justify it all along. No, 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 no. You know what God wants? He wants praise out of your lips, and He wants happiness in your heart, and He wants joy coming to you. He wants you to read the Bible. He wants you to have faith because you've read the Word of God, and faith comes by hearing. Don't let it be said of you by the Holy Spirit of God, I called you often, I called you over and over again, I called you, I pled with you, I reasoned with you, and ye would not. Christian friend, get your heart right with God. It's a much better life. It's a much better life. Now you may be here today, and it may be the first time you ever even walked into assembly. Let me tell you something. Jesus Christ died for you. On the cross of Calvary, He shed His blood that your sins might be forgiven. They can't be forgiven by a priest or a preacher or a church or baptismal waters or any other thing. They can't be forgiven by them. Listen to me. You need to repent of your sins and take Christ as your Savior. You don't have tomorrow. Every one of us is alive today. You do not have tomorrow. Not any one of us. Do it today. Call on Jesus Christ. Take Him as your personal Savior. Let Him be Lord of your life, the rest of your life, as long as you live. And submit to Him. You'll have peace. You'll have happiness. You'll have joy. You'll have victory. Nothing in the world can give you what Jesus Christ can give you. Don't be like Israel, a disobedient and gainsaying people. Don't be like Israel, Jerusalem. How often would I have gathered you and you would not? Get a submissive spirit to the Holy Spirit and let God have His way in your life. If you're not saved, get out on your knees, confess your sins. Sincerely, confess your sins and ask God to forgive you. He will. He will. Stop your rebellion. Come to a place of submission. Let Jesus be Lord of your life. Let's stand and sing.